Live.
Uncensored.
Radio Free America. Another exciting, informative hour is warming up. Rick Adams is on fire.
And we are on fire is right. So are you. You can tickle the phone now and call us toll-free to speak with our guest, Admiral Kimmel's grandson, and that's Tom Kimmel, right here on rbnlive.com. And that number is 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. All right, finally, John from Oregon, you had a question for Tom, and that was what once again? So we can answer you according to your question.
Many people know that FDR was a culprit within this, you know, this treason that supposedly took place. And it was your, because America was squeezing Japan just so badly economically, it's just one, you know, one part of the puzzle. But was your grandfather aware of the controlling forces that was going to eventually make the puppeteers pull FDR into their, you know, their pit?
Okay. So how aware was he at the time?
Well, that was a big problem. He was not aware of all of these actions that were being taken. So
he wasn't aware of the globalists, then, you're saying?
He wasn't aware
of very much of anything other than what he knew, and he didn't know very much because he was kept in the dark.
Right.
That was the whole point.
Well, like many members of the CFR, I guess, as is what some people say.
Well, consider what Admiral Nimitz had to say. Nimitz, of course, is the grand old man of the Pacific War, the great hero of the Pacific Force, the fellow who took over from my grandfather when he was fired. Nimitz was a long supporter of Kimmel and is famous for having said Admiral Kimmel had been given no information which would justify interrupting a very urgent training schedule.
Exactly.
Now, not only was he not given information that would justify interrupting this training schedule, he was kept in the dark as to what in the world the Roosevelt administration was doing and wanted to do vis-a-vis Japan. And we only found this out by accident, really, in 1995 when Bob Stinnett was rifling through the National Archives. He came up with this famous McCallum memo of October 8, 1940, as I recall, in which McCallum, who was very important in the Pearl Harbor story because he was the head of the Far East section of the Office of Naval Intelligence and had been for years, he was very influential in that arena. He wrote this memorandum recommending that the Roosevelt administration goad Japan into attacking us. And that's what he said in the memorandum.
That was an eight-point program, by the way, that had been documented that the Roosevelt administration was using behind the scenes to orchestrate that that attack to get Japan to attack us. And in fact, at Pearl Harbor. So this was like well in advance of December 7th, 41.
Kimmel had no idea that that memo had been written. As a matter of fact, when Admiral McCallum was asked at the Joint Congressional Committee hearing, he was asked if, Hugh Admiral, do you know of anybody who attempted to trick or maneuver the Japanese into attacking us? And McCallum lied his socks off and said, no, I don't know. He was asked a follow-up question, you know, the going-away question for all witnesses. Hey, if there's anything that you think that's pertinent to this inquiry that we haven't asked you, that hasn't been brought out by the questions asked, now's the time to volunteer it, Admiral. And again, he said, no, I don't believe I have anything to be of interest to you. And he wrote the memo that recommended that we go Japan into attacking us. It was an unbelievable performance.
All right, John, I hope that helps answer your questions.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate you calling. Thank you as well. 800-313-9443. And we are approaching this quick break once again. So I'll ask you, Tom, to take a little sip of water or whatever. Relax, because we got another whole hour to go. I hope you can stay with us because we got a lot of questions for you. And we will continue. Tom Kimmel, he's our guest tonight. Stay tuned for more exciting discourse right here on Uncensored Radio Free America. I'm Rick Adams, your host.
Are you one of the millions who have trouble waking up every morning? Hit the snooze a few too many times? Need that morning cup of coffee to get you started? Why not put a little spice in your morning with Dano Cafe? Dano Cafe, a healthy coffee, gives you energy and vigor, increases your focus and mental clarity. Dano Cafe helps the body heal itself, strengthen the immune system, and waste elimination for detoxification. If you're a coffee drinker, you won't believe the wonderful taste of this great coffee. Ganoderma, commonly known as the reishi mushroom, has been utilized in Chinese medicine for over 2,000 years. Also known as the longevity herb, miraculous king of herbs, it's more powerful than ginseng and has much lower caffeine and acid. To get your cup of great-tasting coffee, go to healthycoffeeonline.com or call 1-888-841-6055. That's 1-888-841-6055.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
The second hour of Uncensored Radio Free America on Republic Broadcasting Network. And our guest is Tom Kimmel. And, of course, if you just tuned in, he is the oldest living grandson of Admiral Kimmel, husband Kimmel, who originally with General Walter Short took the rap for Pearl Harbor. As we've been stating now in the last hour or so, anything but that is true. And let me just introduce this before we continue, Tom. As you know, at this particular time, we have to go back in history, and we have to go back to the Roosevelt administration and its second and third term, actually, in office, and how the Roosevelt administration had promised on the very eve of World War II that as long as he was president, there would be no war. As you know, he promised on a very strong, and campaigned on a very strong anti-war platform the year before or so. And, of course, we know that while he was saying that, he was planning a backdoor entry into World War II. Now, one other thing he did long before Pearl Harbor, or not so very long before Pearl Harbor, but in advance of it, was to use the psychology of fear. And one of the things he did was to create this White Committee. I'm sure you've heard of the White Committee, popularly known as the Committee to Save America by Helping the Allies.
Okay.
Well, this White Committee was formed, and it was under the chairmanship of the late William Allen White, who, of course, was involved with the Roosevelt administration for some time. And he, at that time, basically had a mission, and that was to scare the American people into war, to convince them that America was doomed if we did not help our friends defeat Hitler, because we didn't help, Hitler would surely conquer all and come after us. Well, the public committee technique had become a government classic propaganda means of trying to instill fear into the public. Now, that did not work. The American people were told by Woodrow Wilson in World War I that that was the war to end all wars, as you know. And if we supported that war, there'd be no more war. It was the so-called Great War. Well, of course, most people didn't know, because of control of media, the newspapers and so forth, that these same forces were planning another war far more devastating than the first. So here Roosevelt had been working with his minions, if you will, behind the scenes and in open, to try to instill fear into the American public. So once Pearl Harbor happened, President Roosevelt then could turn to yet another committee and another commission, and that chaired by Owen Roberts, as you pointed out so well, to continue this campaign of disinformation and propaganda. But remember, most importantly, the one thing that people can be counted on more than anything else to step in line is the use of fear and bigotry. And it was the fact that the Japanese were different from us, that we saw them as cruel, barbaric attackers of innocent men at Pearl Harbor. That formula worked magnificently. And it worked again on 9/11, as we were told by the Project for the New American Century folk. And you could read it anytime online. They said, we need another Pearl Harbor event to get us into and catapult us into the war in the Middle East. And, of course, that's exactly what happened once again.
They did say that. Of course, this worked in reverse with the Japanese. We figured that the Japanese were incompetent warriors and inferior in that arena. And, of course, nothing could have been further from the truth, as we sadly learned shortly after Pearl Harbor. They were extremely competent fighters.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, the name of General Wiedemeyer comes up again. And, he was retired. I mean, from 1941 to 43, he was in service, I believe, right?
Well,
General Wiedemeyer.
He was General MacArthur's G2, our head of intelligence out there in the Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
He had some interesting things to say about magic and about the importance of magic, because, as I guess you're aware, of course, magic was available to MacArthur in the Philippines, mm-hmm. that's General MacArthur, and to the Commander-in-Chief of the Asiatic Fleet, Admiral Hart. Mm-hmm. It was also available, of course, in Washington, D.C., and to the British, but, of course, not available to Admiral Kimmel. At any rate, Wiedemeyer, he was looking at the magic intercepts, the ones pertaining to Pearl Harbor, specifically the bomb plot message of September 24th, 1941, that divvied Pearl Harbor up into a coordinate grid system, which is a classic method for pinpoint aerial bombing.
Yes.
And he drew his own conclusions that the battleships had suddenly become targets. And he wrote about that in his book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in fact, I mean, he said Roosevelt used the fraudulent fear strategy to scare the American people into the war. And he really condemned the Roosevelt administration. And he was there to see it firsthand and how the deception was used to get us into the war. Now, you can argue back and forth forever about the war, but this is a fact that no one can deny. And that is that when one strategy failed, Roosevelt adopted another. And when that failed, finally, he adopted the strategy of the back door to war, and this was Pearl Harbor. No one, I think, now doubts that, except maybe a few apologists.
Well, there are some people that doubt it still, but, we have learned a tremendous amount, of course, through the 1995 declassification and revelations in the Venona Project. Mm-hmm. Venona, of course, being the code name for the secret decoding of the Soviet spy communications prior to Pearl Harbor and all during World War II.
Yeah, tell us about those Venona intercepts, how they relate to this case of exoneration here.
Well, of course, the remarkable thing was that we found out that the document that the Army Pearl Harbor Board styled as the document that touched the button that started the war, That was the famous November 26, 1941, American note to the Japanese, or ultimatum, if you prefer. This was presented by Secretary of State Cordell Hull to the Japanese on November 26, 1941, and said, in effect, Japan, get out of China or else. Now, we knew from the secret decoding of the Japanese communications that the Japanese considered that proposal humiliating. They considered it an ultimatum, and by no means could they use it for a basis of negotiation, after which things were automatically going to happen. They set up a timetable on the basis of it. They set up a deceit plan to make it appear that negotiations were still possible, and, of course, that was the linchpin for setting in train the attack on Pearl Harbor. Well, what we are finding out now is that that November 26, 1941 memorandum was initiated way back in May of 1941 by a Soviet operation to further corrupt Americans in high positions of influence in the American government, specifically a fellow by the name of Harry Dexter White, who was the number two man in the Treasury Department, relied on by the Secretary of Treasury, Henry Morgenthau, for foreign policy. The Soviets dreamed up an operation called Snow, Operation Snow, which was a play on the word white, Harry Dexter White, White Snow, Snow White. And the program was to send two KGB officers over to the United States, meet in Washington, D.C., with Harry Dexter White and lay out to Harry Dexter White what they wanted the American foreign policy to be vis-a-vis Japan. And, of course, it was a hard-line policy that they wanted because they wanted to ensure that the Japanese were furious with the Americans and would therefore go after the Americans, the Dutch, and the British, attack south, and not attack the Soviets in the back, because the Soviets had enough trouble trying to fend off the Weimar coming in from the west.
Brilliant strategy, huh?
And it worked.
It worked
beautifully. Well, the fellow who wrote in the first instance this November 26, 41 American note was a Soviet spy, Harry Dexter White. Revealed multiple times, I think there are some 11 to a dozen communications in the Venona decrypts identifying Harry Dexter White as a Soviet spy, and had been a Soviet spy since the 1930s when he was recruited by a famous Soviet illegals officer. Now, Harry Dexter White does not appear in any of the 10 official Pearl Harbor investigations with one minor exception. And that is the famous November 18th, 1941, Morgenthau to the President memorandum that Harry Dexter White wrote. And we know Harry Dexter White wrote it because his initials, HDW, are on it. But nobody seemed to care what HDW meant or anything else. Until, of course, 1995, when we finally figured it out. But you can look at the entire index of the 30,000 pages.
Yeah, these are just a few of the minor tidbits of history, I'm afraid, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, like, who cares now? It's over with, hey, we did the right thing, and Johnny come marching home, and who cares about minor details of history, you know? And yet we're repeating history again, the same
mistakes. Previous caller, John, asked about this shadow government, and I don't think he was referring quite to this, but, yeah, there are influences here that there are people out there that mean to do us harm.
Yeah, and they run the government. And Dan Smoot, who was a former FBI agent like yourself, he talked about this as the invisible government in his book, The Council on Foreign Relations, Invisible Government, and he documented every single step of the way what happened since the formation of the council in 1919 or 1921. Right up to the present, and it is a shadow government in that sense that we seem to have a pattern of betrayal and a pattern that no matter who's in power, no matter who's in the White House, who's Secretary of State, that we keep moving in that one-worlder, globalist, internationalist arena, and much to the detriment, I might add, of America's sovereignty.
Well, Rick, you know, as we say in the intelligence business, there's no such thing as a friendly intelligence service.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you know, as Maxwell Smart used to warn about government intelligence, that's sort of an oxymoron, isn't it? Huh? All right, we'll be back, Tom Kimmel. Stay where you are, and callers, we'll be next. I'm Rick Adams.
Hello, this is Christine with BringHemHome.org. Are you a parent disinclined to seeing your sons and daughters used as mortar bait for the New World Order? With no end in sight to the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, along with the looming possibility of an escalation of conflict into Iran and Syria, we need to send a definitive message to the warmongering politicians. Bring our troops home now. We have Bring Them Home magnetic ribbons, which are available in any quantity. Like the upside-down flag, these ribbons are inverted to symbolize a state of distress. Place these ribbons on your cars and help us wake up the sleeping public. Don't wait until the military draft is implemented. Don't wait until it's too late. Get your ribbons now. Your Bring Them Home ribbons can be purchased at rbnlive.com or at bringhemhome.org or call 877-605-9200.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Introducing the world's best air purifier, the Aeronizer. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on the surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. Call 877-605-9200 or visit the website at www.aeronair.us.
Rick Adams here reminding you, you can live pain-free now and without inflammation thanks to Dr. Cass Ingram's incredible new discovery, InflaEase. It actually eliminates the inflammation that causes arthritis, agonizing pain, and more. To order this amazing new product, call 800-243-5242. That's 800-243-5242. Order InflaEase today and be sure to mention Rick Adams.
Introducing the world's best air purifier, the Aeronizer. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on the surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. Call 877-605-9200 or visit the website at www.aeronair.us.
Okay, we are back again, Uncensored Radio Free America. Rick Adams with you. You're Paul Revere of Talk Radio. And our guest again, Tom Kimmel. Let's go to the phones and take some calls. 800-313-9443 is the number. Hello, Joe, back home in Rhode Island. How are you, Joe?
Good, Rick. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Say hello to Tom Kimmel.
Hi, Tom Kimmel, and I'd like to thank you for your service, Tom, and I still see that you're still serving your country today.
Well, you're most kind. Thank you, Joe.
Tom, many Christian scholars before 1948 all looked forward to 1948 because they knew that the good and the bad figs were going to be planted in Jerusalem. The problem was they just didn't know who these people were. But you can read all about them in Jeremiah 24.
Okay.
And the bad figs would be the people that the previous caller was referring to, the shadow people. They're not shadow. If you look in the scriptures, they're very well visible.
How about known Pearl Harbor now, Joe? Joe, do you have a question about Pearl Harbor?
Okay.
Yeah.
This is what I'm referring to, Rick. Could the events of World War One and World War Two be leading to the setup of the government in 1948 in Palestine? In other words, what I'm saying is, in Romans 13, there's no power in existence unless I have ordained it. Mm-hmm. Notice God was speaking.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, he ordained the Nebuchadnezzars,
right,
the
right.
Son of Cherubs.
Yep.
He ordained all of them. And if it wasn't for Adolf Hitler, I believe that the good and the bad figs would not be planted in 1948. And I believe that World War I and World War II, and my father participated in World War II in the Pacific. If those wars didn't happen, I don't believe that the good and the bad figs would have been planted in 1948. Could we tie that in?
I don't know. You have to ask Tom. This may be a little bit out of your league, Tom. I know you're not a Bible expert, but...
Well, I think you may have something there.
Go ahead. Go ahead. You tackle it, Tom. It's your question now from Joe.
Well, certainly Pearl Harbor is a watershed event.
Yep, yep.
Prior to that, our intrusion in foreign affairs was minimal. That changed dramatically on December 7th, 1941.
Mm-hmm.
It set the stage for all that followed, when Congressman Cannon got up there and accused my grandfather of not being on speaking terms with Walter Short,
mm-hmm.
and therefore he was responsible for Pearl Harbor, and he went on to say, for the terrible situation we find ourselves in today, meaning the Cold War. So he was blaming my grandfather not only for Pearl Harbor, but for the Cold War.
Incredible.
Which was a little bit beyond the pale, but... I don't know how, Joe. I don't know how much I can help you here with this question.
Joe. Well, Joe, does that answer? I think pretty much what you've been looking for here.
Pretty much, Rick. And
yeah.
I'd just like to leave with one quote from Isaiah,
yes.
chapter 9:21.
All right.
Manasseh, Ephraim, Manasseh, mm-hmm. and they together shall be against Judah.
Mm-hmm.
This prophecy took place in 631 B.C.
Mm-hmm.
Manasseh. Great. Many scholars today believe the United States is Manasseh,
mm-hmm.
means forgetful, applies to us beautifully.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. Yep,
great other words
England.
Of Isaiah, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
And Judah being Germany.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Brother against brother, slaughter.
Mm-hmm. No, I understand perfectly what you're saying, and these folks behind the scenes want nothing more than to destroy the tribes as they are today in the flesh in the United States, England, Germany, warring against each other and making big profits, by the way, financing those wars of aggression, dragging the United States right into them. Thank you, Joe. You made a great point.
You know, Rick, too,
yeah.
Patton, after he
General
was
Patton.
Held back,
mm-hmm.
he said, I have fought this war before. He said, let me go into Russia and finish them off.
Right, right.
And look at the problems we've had ever since.
No, he was prevented from doing that. You're absolutely correct. Good points.
He said he fought the war before, Rick.
I understand, Joe.
Thank you, buddy.
Hey, thank you. Good call. Good thought-provoking questions and certainly some thoughts that need to continue to be pondered here on the program. And we do, Tom, talk about all of them. Tim from Washington, you're next on the program. Hello.
Yes. I was listening to a Marine one day,
mm-hmm.
and he said that he was at Pearl Harbor during the attack, and he said that Roosevelt had signed a pay raise in December, retroactive going back to July,
mm-hmm.
and that everybody in Pearl Harbor was out on the town, probably down on Hotel Street,
mm-hmm.
and I'd like to know how that played into it. And the second question I have is, when he got back, he said that the guns were all locked up and that the ammo was locked up in a different location. So they had a hell of a time getting ready to fight when they got back. And I'd like to know how come they were so unprepared.
Okay, good questions. Go ahead. Hold on to that, because we got a break coming up. But, Tom, I want you to address each of those questions.
Well, I have one more, and then I'll hang
when
up.
All right, go ahead. Go ahead.
And the third one is, I heard there was a battle going on within the Navy itself,
mm-hmm.
between the battleships and the carrier people. And that, at the end of it, of course, you see what happened at the end. But I'll hang up, and I'll listen to those.
All answers. Right. Very good. Fair enough. We got a break. Tom, you can answer those questions with me after this break. Stay tuned for more. Yes, sir. Uncensored Radio, Free America. I'm Rick Adams. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Want to look good and feel great? Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Well, there are things you can do and natural products available that are strong and safer than harsh synthetics. Rediscover ancient secrets with therapeutic grade A essential oils. The molecular structure of essential oils is highly oxygenating in nature, increasing vitality and energy to the body. Our essential oils and supplements are all natural and absolutely pure to help you discover optimal health, essential nutrition, emotional well-being, and effective weight management. Whether using our products or looking for a home-based business, you'll be glad you contacted us by calling 1-800-993-OILS. Therapeutic-grade essential oils are emerging as a missing link to modern medicine. That's 1-800-993-6457. You can also visit our website at www.naturesoils.org. That's www.naturesoils.org.
Did you read this? Chicago just became the murder capital of America.
I don't understand. It's been a felony to have a gun since 95. I thought that was supposed to prevent murders, not increase them.
Criminals will always find a way to get guns, while the rest of us are just left defenseless.
Chicago authorities have seized over 75,000 firearms since 1995. And now, Chicago's murder rate is twice as high as New York City. Tonight, while you're asleep, criminals will be at work.
Not in Kennesaw, Georgia. In 1982, our city passed a law requiring every household to have a gun. It terrified the criminals, and our violent crime rate is now 75% below the national average. We sleep well here in Kennesaw.
Americans who own guns prevent over 1 million violent crimes every year and save lives. Get the facts. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
Would you like to have an income regardless of the economic situation, which few trade people have considered? The art of knife sharpening is a skill that will never disappear and will always be in demand. Whether you have a place of business and just want to add to your income, or would like to travel servicing restaurants, barbershops, or a variety of businesses in need of sharpening tools, you're always guaranteed an income with repetitive business. Learn how to become a successful grindsman. It's easy to learn with our portable Grambo sharpening system. Travel anywhere you desire. Purchase the training manual for only $30, and it'll be applied toward your purchase of the Grambo sharpening system. America has become a service-oriented rather than a manufacturing or even high-tech economy. Take advantage of the situation and become a professional grindsman. It's easy to learn. Start on a shoestring with the overwhelming amount of business out there. Now is the best time to start. Call today for more information. You can enjoy the good life. Call now, 512-297-3152. That's 512-297-3152.
The Nighttime Ride of the Paul Revere of Talk Radio. Uncensored. Radio Free America. Rick Adams is back.
Thank you very much, and yes, we are back for the final half hour of the broadcast, and I don't know how much to thank Tom Kimmel for being here tonight, because I think we're all learning a lot that we didn't know, and Tom himself admits that he's learned a lot, too, from time to time, and most recently, of course, I know the article that, Tom, you wrote in the Barnes Review publication, in the issue of November-December 2004 was certainly a revelation. We'll talk about that in a few moments. That's the article, 12 New Pearl Harbor Facts by you, Tom Kimmel. But let's answer Tim from Washington's questions about what happened. First, the pay raise, the so-called retroactive pay raise that Roosevelt issued. What's the story on that?
Okay, well, I got three parts of the question. About the pay raise, I know nothing.
Well, it's the first time I've heard that one as well.
I've never heard about that, but the second, there were three questions that I had that I thought I was responding to.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Tim indicated that the vast majority of the sailors were out on the town and presumably drinking and partying it up.
and locked out of their ammunition and so forth.
Well, that's the second part about the locked up ammunition and the slowness of the response. And the third part referred to battleship versus carrier operations
and the
war going on with the authorities in the Navy as to what was preeminent. So let me address all three of those.
Okay.
First of all, the Roberts Commission did one beneficial thing, and that was to completely dispel this idea that the sailors were drunk and out on liberty the night of Pearl Harbor. 90% of them were on board ship, as even the Roberts Commission had to testify to. The vast majority of the officers were aboard the ships. The idea that everybody was drunk and asleep is just outrageous, outrageous canard against the officers and men of the command out there. And it simply is not true and not supported by anything.
Mm-hmm.
Even the Roberts Commission did not come up with that wild an assessment.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the ammunition being locked up, of course, the ammunition was locked up and mandated to be locked up by instructions from Washington, D.C. Admiral Kimmel violated those instructions and insisted that 24 hours a day a gun on the ships be manned and that the ammunition be available. Within 4 minutes of the attack, the guns on all of the Navy ships were in action, the designated guns, causing the head of the Japanese task force, Nagumo, to marvel at the rapidity with which the American forces responded. And 4 minutes after the attack, assessing that they had lost the element of surprise. So I think that pretty well discourages any thoughts in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
Keep in mind now, the American forces fired the first shot, and they fired the first shot. The USS Ward did so by sinking a Japanese submarine.
Absolutely true.
Even before the attack.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
This is frequently used against Admiral Kimmel. Amazingly so, because they say, well, Admiral Kimmel knew that this American destroyer had fired on this Japanese submarine, therefore he should have been able to glean that we were suddenly in World War II. Well,
I mean, that's incredible when you consider the layout here.
It's even more incredible because the only reason the USS Ward fired on that Japanese submarine was because Admiral Kimmel again violated orders from Washington and ordered the depth bombing of submarine sonar contacts in the operating area of Pearl Harbor. Washington, D.C. had forbid him to do that, and he violated that order and had him do it anyway. So it's particularly ironic that that would be used against Admiral Kimmel.
Let me understand this now. You're saying that Admiral Kimmel deliberately disobeyed orders not to engage in any intercepting of submarines or bombing on the part of the Americans against the Japanese?
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
That's contained in his book. You can find that in his book. Google Admiral Kimmel's story. If you Google Admiral Kimmel's story, there's an excellent copy of Admiral Kimmel's book there. And you can go right to the section about the depth bombing of sonar contacts, and it'll lay out the whole story about how he was instructed not to engage in this depth bombing of sonar contacts and how he went ahead and did it anyway.
Well, now, see, I've been getting a lot of different stories from various historians on this, and some of them have said that, in fact, Roosevelt indeed wanted that to take place, that is, wanted to provoke the Japanese by attacking Japanese subs in the Pacific, and that would have obviously provided one of the great pretexts for war if, in fact, the Japanese were retaliating. So that's the part that gets me a little bit confused here.
Well,
do you understand what I'm saying?
Well, I think, but doesn't Secretary of Stimson's diary solve that problem in clear, plain language?
Go ahead,
tell us. Well, the famous war cabinet meeting of November 26, 1941.
Yeah.
The war cabinet consisted of the President of the United States, Roosevelt, the Secretary of War, Henry Stimson, the Secretary of the Navy, Frank Knox, and the Secretary of State, Cordell Hull, and the Chief of Staff of the Army, the head of the Army, George Marshall.
Mm-hmm.
Stimson reported on that meeting in his diary that very same day and said the President got up and announced that The problem was how are we to maneuver Japan into firing the first shot without allowing too much danger to ourselves?
Mm-hmm.
It was a difficult
mm-hmm.
proposition.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what could be clearer than that? Those are his intentions. He mm-hmm. wanted to have Japan fire the first shot, mm-hmm. maneuver them into firing the first shot.
Of course,
necessary.
Not only the provocations by the U.S., but also the cutting off of the sale of scrap iron and so forth, and oil, I believe, as well.
That
were economic factors, if you will, in trying to get the Japs mad enough to attack us. People have to remember the Japanese were heavily involved with the invasion of China. And, of course, that was their main thrust at that particular time throughout the late 30s. So they were so preoccupied with China, I think the last thing they wanted, really, was to become directly involved with the United States. And the same could be said of Germany as well, by the way. The last thing that Adolf Hitler needed that time was a provocation from Washington or to Washington to get the United States involved. It certainly didn't help his strategy any. So it looks like between Roosevelt and his Secretary of War and his Secretary of State, Mr. Hull and so forth, and Winston Churchill, these guys were really cooking up quite a war here. That's the way it looks.
I don't want to shortchange Tim on the last part of his question. You know,
go ahead.
He was talking battleships versus aircraft operations,
right.
and the continuing debate at high levels in the Navy as to which would be preeminent. And indeed, that sort of thing goes on all the time. But and Admiral Kimmel has been accused of being a nearsighted battleship-oriented commander because, of course, in his day, battleships ruled. Well, nothing could be further from the truth as far as Admiral Kimmel was concerned. And I tell you, a ready reference for that, there's a great book here called Pearl Harbor Betrayed by Michael Gannon. If you go to page 107, you'll get the correspondence Kimmel had with Admiral Stark on 22 October 1941, in which Kimmel said, "The type of operations we have planned in the Pacific in the early stages of the war puts a premium on aircraft operations from carriers." So clearly, Kimmel was not myopic in that regard. He understood dramatically the effect that the aircraft carrier operations were going to have.
Let me ask you this, because you had some candid conversations with your grandfather long before his death, I take it?
Oh, sure.
All right.
You know, I graduated in 1966 from the Naval Academy.
Right.
I had been visiting my grandfather routinely since my early teenage years because my grandfather wanted to be close to his oldest surviving son. You know, he lost a son in the war who was a commanding mm-hmm. officer of a submarine.
Mm-hmm.
My dad was a commanding officer of a submarine during the war as well. My grandfather moved to Groton, Connecticut, and of course there's a big New London Groton submarine complex up there.
Mm-hmm.
My dad spent a lot of time there. Consequence, I spent some time there as well. We used to visit my grandfather frequently, and we would talk to him at great length about Pearl Harbor and everything else under the sun. But,
well, let me ask you this then. In all of these heart-to-heart talks, was there ever a point in which your grandfather, Admiral Kimmel, ever expressed regret about anything he personally did or would have done things differently?
Not at all. As a matter of fact, even in his book, he says, "Hey, I can't reproach myself now for any lack of effort."
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Admiral Kimmel had the reputation for being a workaholic before that term was common. He practically worked himself to death out there, and it was well known for that. The heart investigation, which was one of the 10 Pearl Harbor inquiries, found that he was indefatigable, I love that word, in his pursuit of getting the fleet prepared for war.
Mm-hmm. Well, the reason I bring it up is because based on what you've indicated tonight, Tom, is there anything that your grandfather was not accused of having done during World War II or the events leading up to World War II? I mean, it sounds like he was blamed for everything.
Oh, well, yeah, that's right, and blamed for the Cold War, too.
Yeah.
Hey, and
I mean, for what followed, yeah.
Let's
incredible.
Not leave my grandmother out of this thing. My grandmother was accused in a vicious letter that she received of pulling rank and kicking a pregnant matron out of her quarters on some ship that was traveling to Pearl Harbor, and that wasn't Admiral Kimmel's wife, my grandmother, a witch for doing that. Well, of course, the truth of the matter is my grandmother has never been to Pearl Harbor. But nonetheless, that didn't stop this woman from accusing her of pushing somebody out of a cabin to take the
incredible
place.
Yeah, mind-boggling. Let me ask you this. By the way, if you'd like to chime in, 800-313-9443 is our toll-free line now to talk to Tom Kimmel. 800-313-9443. As you know, the media play a very key role in all of this, and the news media, the New York Times, you know, preeminent mainstream elite media of the Eastern establishment, of course, basically what's in the Times is what's there, and what isn't doesn't happen as far as the New York Times is concerned. How do you rate, you personally, rate the way some of the media reportage has handled your grandfather and the Pearl Harbor story over the years?
Well, let's take a recent example. The Naval Institute of Proceedings, the Naval Institute Press published a book recently, which is contrary to my grandfather. And I wrote a review of that book. Mm-hmm. And the Naval Institute Press has a policy that they don't review books. The Naval Institute of Proceedings, which is a trade magazine for the Navy, revered.
Mm-hmm.
They have a policy that they will not review books that they publish. So where does that leave you?
So it's basically one-sided once again.
Yeah, there's a contrary book. Yeah. I try to point out where the errors are and the misjudgments, I'm dismissed by simply saying that it's their policy that they don't review books that they publish.
That sounds all too familiar in the printed media especially. That's why we have talk radio and real talk radio here. All right, let's take another call from Walt in Arizona. Hello, Walt. You're on the program.
Thank you very much. Good evening to you two gentlemen. Very interesting thus far.
Thank you.
I enjoyed it every bit. At the time of Pearl Harbor, I was completing my training to become a radar maintenance man. Mm-hmm. At Fort Monmouth under Major Green. At that time, we called it aircraft warning. And there were two principal equipments we were studying, one used for aircraft and searchlight control, known as the SCR-268, and the other was an exceedingly high-powered, long-range radar, known as the SCR-270. It had the range to capture the incoming Japanese attack planes. And the story that I have heard was that the operator of that equipment gave a report of these blips coming up on his radar screen and reported it to his superior, a lieutenant. I probably was a second lieutenant. And that information was not relayed up command, which would have alerted the whole organization at Pearl Harbor. What are your comments on that, Mr.
Hey,
Himmel?
Tom?
Well, indeed, that's a fact. That's well documented. The Army Pearl Harbor Board was quite critical of General Short in that regard and made it manifest in their report. You know, the Army Pearl Harbor Board did not find General Short without error. Now, that error that they found of General Short was mild, certainly mild in comparison to the errors visited upon the head of the Chief of Staff of the Army, General Marshall, by the Army Pearl Harbor Board. But getting back to the radar installation, they were delayed significantly because of a turf battle over where to install these things between the Department of the Army, or the War Department, and the Interior Department. There was significant delay in getting these radar stations planted. This was new technology. They were trying to get trying to figure this stuff out. This was whiz-bang stuff at the time. And they dropped the ball. There's no doubt about that. They picked up the planes. The junior officer there didn't recognize what it was. He thought it was a flight of B-17s, which were due in from the West Coast, mm-hmm. and indeed there was a flight of B-17s.
Mm-hmm.
So he misdiagnosed that, and that's a fact. That's a terrible misadventure. Now, of course, the Naval Court of Inquiry said even if they had picked up those planes and reported it properly, it would have made virtually no difference.
Mm.
Because by then, the die was cast.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, we had nothing at Pearl Harbor capable of shooting those things down in any reasonable way. Mm-hmm. When I say shooting those down, I'm talking about the carriers themselves, because all of our long-range aircraft were off with the two carriers to Wake Island and Midway on orders that had been initiated by the Navy Department on November 28th.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing we had that was capable of attacking the aircraft carriers at that time were the six B-17s that General Short had, and that's it.
So they were left as sitting targets, essentially.
Well, of course. And
I mean,
of course,
deliberately.
And the B-17 turned out that, you know, that was going to be the great weapon that was going to win the war in a few weeks, so said General Marshall before the war.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we found out that those things were terribly ineffective at the Battle of Midway. They had a couple of squadrons that went out there trying to get after the four Japanese aircraft carriers, and none of them obtained any hits at all.
Thank you for your call, Walt. I appreciate your great contribution to the program and your answer, Tom. Stay where you are. We'll be back to wrap up, and we'll be back in about 3 minutes from now on Uncensored Radio Free America.
Looking for a quality shortwave radio without spending hundreds of dollars? The Sanjian 505P shortwave radio is the answer. Featuring continuous tuning for all shortwave frequencies utilizing direct keypad tuning. Dual conversion improves shortwave image for better shortwave reception. Single sideband allows for reception of upper and lower sideband signals. Other features include 45 station memory, auto preset system, auto memory scan, tone controls, dual time display, and adjustable sleep timers. Included accessories, the ANT60 portable shortwave antenna, AC adapter, stereo earbuds, and a soft-sided carrying case. Also, a one-year full factory warranty on parts and labor. All this for only $139. Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Call today.
Introducing the world's best air purifier, the Aeronizer. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews, as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on the surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. Call 877-605-9200 or visit the website at www.aeronair.us.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Radio Avenger here, extending to you an offer you can't refuse. Right now you can receive on one single DVD all three of Father John O'Connor's shocking new videos. The Synagogues of Satan, The End of the World, and his newest blockbuster, The Annihilation of America by the Puppets of the Zionists, postpaid for just $35. Learn what's behind the impending destruction of our nation and our way of life, and what you must do to prepare for the coming judgment. Father John O'Connor is the John Wayne of the priesthood. You need to heed his prophetic videos while there's time and learn what the evil forces of the New World Order are planning in these darkest days. You'll never be the same, guaranteed. To order the three videos on one DVD, email CatholicCounterpoint.com or call 610-853-8339. Just $35 postpaid for all three on one DVD. Once again, CatholicCounterpoint.com or dial 610-853-8339. Mention Rick Adams. Okay, we are back, in the final moments of tonight's program, Uncensored Radio Free America with Tom Kimmel. And by the way, because we didn't have time to really delve into it, but you listening out there can get into the article that was published by Tom Kimmel, 12 New Pearl Harbor Facts, by going online to www.barnesreview.org. And Barnes Review, of course, is BARNESREVIEW, barnesreview.org. And you can look up the back issue, I believe. And it was November, December 2004, Tom, that you had written that article. Now, before we run out of time, I want to ask you, what is the current status of the resolutions before Congress and the White House having to do with total exoneration of your grandfather, Mr. Kimmel?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, Rick. What the status is we are trying to receive, under the Freedom of Information Act, mm-hmm. the contents of the Department of Defense's memorandum recommending against taking the action that Congress recommended it by law in 2000. The Congress recommended that the President of the United States advance Rear Admiral Kimmel posthumously mm-hmm. and Major General Short to the highest held temporary ranks in World War II mm-hmm. of Admiral and Lieutenant General, respectively, in accordance with the Officer Personnel Act of 1947, because these are the only two officers otherwise qualified under the Act who have not been so advanced. In other words, the only two officers officially punished for the success of the Japanese attack. The Congress thinks that's wrong. They cited that Kimmel and Short performed their duties competently and professionally, and they recommended that this action be taken.
And well, what have the presidents done thus far?
The president refuses to take the action. Well, I shouldn't say that. I should say this administration refuses to take the action and refuses, this administration refuses to explain why and refuses to release to the Kimmel family or to the American public available and requested information explaining why the administration refuses to take the action. And, of course, they tell us anyway that they refuse to bring this to the attention of the President of the United States, all right? My goal here is to bring this matter to the attention of the President of the United States, and I ask your audience to help me, help this administration bring this matter, this important matter of national honor, to the attention of the President of the United States.
Tom, what's the best way they can do that in 30 seconds?
Well, the best way is to contact the President of the United States. You can do that by going to sending him an email. His email address, incidentally, is president@whitehouse.gov. President@whitehouse.gov.
Okay.
If you want to know something to say, send me an email, and I'll send you a sample letter that you can send to President
And how can
Bush.
They do that? How can people get in touch with you, Tom Kimmel?
Send me an email at T. Kimmel. That's T is in tango. T. Kimmel, K-I-M-M-E-L, at CFL, which stands for Central Florida, .RR, which stands for Roadrunner, .com. T. Kimmel at CFL.RR.com, and I'll be delighted to send him a sample letter.
Thank you, Tom Kimmel, for being my guest tonight. We'll have you back again.
Terrific.
All right, Tom. Thank you. We're out of time, ladies and gentlemen. See you tomorrow night, 8 o'clock Central, with another fantastic program. Good night, everyone.
Everyone agrees our children are the future leaders of this great nation. How can we expect the founding values of our great republic to continue with future generations when these same values are being phased out of the government-run school system? There is a solution. The Little Red Schoolhouse Project, a community-based school system founded by Dr. Jake Wade to provide a biblical and constitutionally based education for our children. Help us prepare the next generation in our fight for freedom. Ask us how you can help by writing to Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenny Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616, or by calling 512-398-4833. Once again, that is Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenny Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616. Support your local Little Red Schoolhouse. Call 512-398-4833 and ask how you can help ensure no student is turned away.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.